The Vodcast.
I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
He's no good to me dead.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Jacepticeye. I'm out here. You're listening to The Vodcast. Let's go.
It's Alejandro Sparrowfett. Bring on those milkshakes and Twi'leks.
And it's Buddha, a.k.a. Buddha Fett, a.k.a. Don't At Me.
Hey, welcome everybody to the, what are we?
Vodcast? We are the Vodcast. We're still the Vodcast.
All right, we're still the Vodcast. And we are here at the first chapter of the Book of Boba Fett. I'm Jay, Septicon, I guess. I go by a lot of names depending on who you ask, but who are you?
I'm Sparrow Fett, man. I love the Twi'leks. I love the Twi'leks.
You do? So you should love this episode, no?
I got critiquing for this episode, I do.
Oh, man. So, I mean,
We devoted about a half hour to the alone for Twi'leks.
Well, we have social media is dedicated to Boba Fett. So, I mean, this show should be for us, right?
Right.
I mean, I think everybody's excitement was at a fever pitch ever since what happened last year at the end of Mando Season 2. So, I mean, we've waited our whole lives for this, right?
We did. And a lot of people didn't want it, right? I'm one of those people that was kind of on the fence. It's like, do we want to know?
Right.
We should leave it as it is.
Yeah, I was all for the mystery, but I mean, after everything we saw in episode 2, the Clone Wars, I was more open to it than most people I knew. But you know, I like to stay cautiously optimistic. Like, I could talk about costumes all day, but as far as stories and where this character should be, I was always on the side that less is more with him, you know. And
I agree.
Clearly, they are not going that route. So we definitely have a lot to talk about this episode. So I don't know. How are you feeling? Did you stay up? Oh, you joined Discord, right?
Yeah, you know what? I joined the Discord with Wasted, and then I bowed out fast. I mean, I got hit with a stupid tired.
Oh, did you? I couldn't
stay up.
Oh, shit. So you were like Boba this episode.
Yeah, I was definitely Boba this episode.
He definitely did a lot of sleeping this episode.
That was the I think the name of the episode should have been, instead of A Stranger in a Strange Land, it should have been Sleep Time. I woke up in a strange land. That's what it was.
So this was definitely textbook Star Wars subverted expectations, right? If you were going to hear full throttle. But I mean, hey, our friend Buddha Fett, you know, our host who will be back soon, he showed us apparently the Rotten Tomatoes, and it's looking on the up and up. So we're definitely in the minority, I think, of people who were kind of underwhelmed by the first episode, right?
Yeah, but still, you saw that audience score. So if I remember correctly, it was 85 Rotten Tomatoes, and then it was an audience score of 78. So very much teetering on the, you know, the fan base. Obviously, was expecting this, was like, yeah, that's a little underwhelming or slow to get started, right?
Right, right.
That was,
I mean,
the response.
I definitely would have gave it a 50, but, you know, from a lot of feedback, you know, from comments on my Instagram posts and just, you know, overall stuff I've seen online of people giving it, you know, high scores, I think a 78 is a fair median for the fans.
What got me was right away, we got some sympathy from Boba, right when he was, right when, you know, obviously he gets out of the Sarlacc pit, which, you know, if you're a Boba Fett fan like me, I want to see how, you know, that should have taken a few more minutes or something, right? I think that should have been a big part. There's a cut scene, you know?
Yeah, that definitely should have been the entire first half of the episode, I think. Like, I wasn't expecting full robot chicken, you know, blasting out, you know, just shooting tentacles and shit. But definitely, I thought it'd be a lot more dramatic, you know?
Right.
Like, I didn't know he'd just wake up, and punch his way out of the sand, and they move right along. I was definitely surprised that's all we got, but you know.
Now that's all we got. The other part is maybe he would have walked around a little bit in the desert, then, you know, fainted or something and gotten with the, you know, gotten his stuff taken away by Jawas. So that right there, you know, leave him in the armor a little bit more. We wanted a homage, so to speak, to the old armor. You know, I think that would have been a little bit more, you know, just he walks a few, you know, yards or whatever, trying to get to slave one or whatever. And then, you know, obviously the, you know, the injuries, he succumbs a little bit, faints. Obviously then he gets picked up by the Jawas or picked by the Jawas, something like that. But okay, we can't fix that. So now he's getting picked up by, you know, Tusken Raiders, by sand people.
Right.
Which, okay. There is some saving grace to this, because, you know, we never thought sand people were much of anything. You know, they're just, you know, these basically garbage pickers, kind of like the upper echelon type of the Jawas, you know?
Yeah, they're basically just a nuisance, pretty much. You know, they never really were shown to do much, you know, except, you know, what they did to Anakin's mother, and they were dealt pretty quick. I mean, the EU, you know, they shed some light on them, gave them some interesting characters. But as far as live action or even animation, we've rarely ever seen anything. So this was definitely a nice way to give them a little bit of showcase.
Right. And then a little bit into their, like, you know, they got their kid that they're, you know, trying to bring up or whatever. So we got this, you know, they pick them up. They drag them to the desert, basically behind some Banthas. And then he's essentially dragged. So not a very good beginning, you know, if you're a Boba fan. You know, he's kind of made a little bit of a weenie during this time. But, okay.
Now, I noticed during that scene, though, it kind of brought me back to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I think that's probably where they homaged that scene from. Although the camera work just leaves a lot to be desired. I don't know what it just comes across like fan fiction, the way it's filmed, to me at least.
I get you. So what would you have changed there?
I feel like it should have felt more cinematic than what it was. It just felt like cutscenes, and I get what it was trying to convey, but yeah, it was missing that cinematic feel to it, you know, that the desert is vast, and you know, he's really being dragged and carried with, you know, on his deathbed, pretty much, to, you know, wherever this Tusken camp is. I don't know, it just felt like a smaller budget than what Star Wars would normally give you as far as feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Now Let's go back. I'm gonna throw you something here. You tell me what you think.
Go ahead.
It's the Dune Sea. Remember, we're out in the Dune Sea. So technically we're in like a very vast whatever this is. Now there might be a few settlers, but there's not much there. Because, you know, if you go back to Return of the Jedi, you know, you'll be taken out to the Dune Sea. Remember what the C-3PO said. So that's gotta be, you know, pretty much a wasteland. There was only maybe one moisture farmer, which let's get to that part there actually. Well, actually that wasn't even part of that, because Boba tries to escape in night, and this was another thing that I didn't like. He gets himself free, he gets that whatever dog beast thing, gets him to kind of lure him in.
Mate. He's called Mate.
Mate, yeah, like, are we now? He's from the planet New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That creature's Mate.
Yeah, his name is Mate. Now he said, "Do you want me to free you, Rodian? Do you want me to untie your bonds?
Right,
break your bonds." I'm like, "What is he, Shakespearean?" I don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
Right. Just.
Yeah. I don't know how we went from binder cuffs to bonds when you're chained up, but
I don't think there should have been much dialogue there. I think you should have just like motioned that he was gonna. Right. Know what I mean? He can't see right. what I'm and, doing right now, but.
And this is, but this is where we come back to with Boba Fett. Less is more. You know, he's way.
He wouldn't have freed the
talkative. Rodian. Right, exactly. He would have just took care of himself, freed himself, and you know, I'm sure the Rodian would have, you know, alerted the Tuskens and all. But I mean, that interaction was just off to me as far as you know what Boba Fett was or what Boba Fett should be as a character.
So, you know me, I'm the IMDb guy.
Oh yeah.
I am Mr. IMDb, and I have my, I got prepared. This is version two, season two of Vodcast. So, you know, we got a few extra toys. I actually have this fancy thing called a Google search that I pulled up on my computer. Okay. And so I'm staring at the actual IMDb page. Now this is fun. One of my fun things is obviously now we got to, you know, see more, Tuskens. Now, these Tuskens are played by some pretty hot people.
Really?
Yeah, this Joanna Bennett and this Xavier Jimenez. These are model-looking people. Like, these people do not need to be behind masks. Now, he gets caught by the Tuskens, and basically, I was telling my wife, we were looking at the watch, and it's like, that one that's about to beat him up, that's a woman.
So yeah, she's definitely had some sassy vibes to her.
So obviously we're cool with that. We're fine with, you know, we knew there were women characters. Obviously we're going to have, you know, extra women characters, obviously in the world of acting and everything like that. Cool. But you know, maybe it's just, we'll chalk it up to Boba being again, you know, just he's healing and he's right. really in a bad way. And obviously gets beat up by one of the Tuscan warrior girls. So,
right. Which is what the show is trying to convey that, yeah. you know, he's not fully healed, but I would have been fine with that had we not just seen him kill a bunch of stormtroopers.
Right.
What? Over the weekend, I guess, whenever this Literally. Show takes place.
Yeah. So that's, you know, so what for whatever reason this is, and we're one episode deep of what, nine episodes, eight episodes?
I thought there was seven, but I was told by a couple of people there's only six. So maybe I'll hit up that fancy Google machine of yours and double check.
We're gonna do that next week because I'm gonna leave this up to right hopes and dreams. So I don't want to smash them on the first episode.
Right.
So back to that. Okay, good. You know, we're building something up. He gets taken back to the camp. So he comes back from his dream inside his Bacta chamber. So this is all a dream, obviously. So we cut from these scenes at the beginning of the empty Jabba's palace. And then he's in his Bacta chamber and we cut back and he's getting out. And he's getting out because Fennec Shand is waking him up and say, "Hey boss, you got to wake up because people are going to pay him his respect." Now this is good stuff because there's a little extra stuff that I was learning from my wife about a demo and whatever it is. Anyway, right. These are like the lords. These are like the kingpins. That's what demo is. It's like a basically the crime lord. So that's a Japanese word.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what it was like. What the heck was that? So I asked her and I was like, oh yeah, that's like a Japanese word. And that's why you have this guy, whoever this other Twilight guy, that's why, and they're probably going into this, but basically that is the mayor's major domo. So that's his like secondhand man. So
yeah, I don't know. Did you like him?
Okay, didn't I say I was gonna critique Twilight? Twilight,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not a fan of the skin tone, Twilight. I think right. that's what makes Twilight is that green, the blues, the purples, the yellows.
Right.
Though, and then of course whatever the crap that you know he was talking, obviously trying to be like some diplomat or anything for the mayor. That guy was kind of weird.
Right.
That was just a weird character. Somebody that sophisticated is not going to be in a Mos Espa.
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
When he walked in, I thought Woody Harrelson, you know, got another role in Star Wars or something. I mean,
nah.
the way he spoke was just straight Woody Harrelson as Woody Harrelson. And I don't know. I didn't like who's your boy? The blue alien from the Mando? What's his name?
The blue guy.
The blue guy. The first bounty that Din captured in season one.
God, Horatio. I can never get his name right, but yeah,
Horatio Sands.
But yeah. His name was something really crazy. I'll have to back up.
And it's like I dislike him because I dislike him because he just screams Star Trek to me, and I didn't think it could get any worse than him. But this, what is it, Domo? Dara Domo?
Yeah, he's the mayor's mayor domo.
Yeah. I mean, he was even more Star Trek than Horatio was.
Yeah, it was a little, in other words, a character you would have seen in Star Trek, yeah. Like I said, they're dealing with a mixed bag here. So think about it. Star Wars, Hollywood, this was obviously filmed not back in Tunisia. This is probably filmed in the, in California in one of the deserts out there.
Right.
I'll have to check that out too. But, you know, they're dealing with the pandemic. They probably have slim pickings. You're not going to go and get, like, I thought what's funny is if I listened to that again, I thought Jeff Goldblum would have done a good job doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum doing that little, you know,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Yeah. That would be perfect tribute. Casting. Yep.
about that tribute, Mr. Fett.
Yeah. Oh shit! Can we get Jeff Goldblum in Star Wars?
Can we get? Have you seen? Wayne's World 2?
Yeah.
Where he's doing that one scene with the guy at the gas station, and he's like, I need to get to Gordon Street, and it's some bad actor, and he's trying to do this one like Gordon Street. I once knew a girl on Gordon Street. And he stops and he pauses. I know this is a small role, but can we get a better actor?
He was in Wayne's World 2?
Yeah, Wayne's World 2. No. Not Jeff Goldblum. Not Jeff Goldblum. It was freaking Oscar award winning Kurt Douglas?
No way.
No, it wasn't Kurt Douglas, but for that small role. I'm gonna have to pause it.
I'll have to look at it. Yeah. No, send me that clip.
I'll have to send it to you. But literally.
See if we had an editor, we can have him insert that clip in here.
See, this is where the budget. See, we got to discuss the budget. We need our fact person that's just gonna feed stuff into ears.
Yeah, we definitely literally need write that down. We need a stat boy, and we need funding for an editor or for a producer, or I don't know what position.
I put a star by it.
Let's get a key grip in here.
Key grip.
Dude, that's the best job in Hollywood.
Must have stat boy. Nice to have key grip.
Work on that ASAP. Let's open up that Patreon.
Makeup and, lady.
Let's get
that would take the shines off our nose when we got our.
We got to go video on this. I don't like this. Just talking into a mic. It feels so impersonal.
Right.
I need to see who I'm talking to. I mean, I respect all the people who can do podcasts, especially those stuck inside a closet, but it's not me.
And that's not a knock on the LGBT folks.
We're supporters.
Very much.
Yes. All right. Actually, did you see the Trandoshan that came in with the Wookiee?
Felt? That was nice. So that whole part there, that felt good because now this was, we got UK-2B back. That was the initial, one of the droids that was burning the feet.
Okay. Droid. I figured that was him.
Yeah. We know him from burning the feet of the Gonk droid back in Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace. I thought that was a great scene. I loved it.
That was also a nice mention of Fett saying they need a protocol droid. You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Did you get any of that from the Trandoshan? Is it? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That was. Is like I think something about friendship. So, So yeah, that's nice, because I'm sure they're gonna get somebody to do it. You know, maybe, you know, our usual guy Chris, he's actually 501st. So he was obviously really? All the protocol droids. Yeah, 501st.
I know he's been doing it for a long time. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised. He probably has what, three digits?
Three digits, as in
the OGs, the 501st.
Oh yeah,
the three digits.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I get, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I bet you he does have that on his IG or his Facebook.
Yeah, you know, the first time I submitted in 2009, I think they were still on four digits.
Yeah, I'm a five digit man.
Well, that's what I got now, but yeah,
I'm a baby by comparison to a lot of people. My 501st number.
I suck at it. I don't even know how I'm still in it. Actually, I don't even know if I'm still in it. It's been a while.
So we obviously know Taika is Taika Waititi is, he's doing probably an episode, and we know that he's involved in, you know, the extended universe, all these new Disney productions of Star Wars. So this is nice. I mean, I've been talking about him in our chat for a while. Matt Berry, who is by default a Taika Waititi guy, he is in What We Do in the Shadows, and he is UK2B's voice. And he plays Laszlo, who is a freaking hilarious character in I think that was my favorite addition to this. I mean, and then we're gonna get to Jennifer Beals as Garza Whip. I'm gonna call her Garza Whip, by the way. Like, hey, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Is that who was that? Was that Stilly? Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. No, Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton. What was that? Yeah,
that was Stewie.
That was.
Can't have pie without Cool Whip. So we get, it looks like a Wiki skin. We get some coins from Trandoshan.
Did Fennec say you don't want to be molested?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
No. Yeah. So obviously we get the Major Dormo from the mayor, who says the tribute is expected. And I said, well, our tribute is that you go back to the mayor unmolested. And she was threatening the guy. So molested? I don't know if they would have been a better word. Maybe, like, you know, that would trigger some people.
Yeah. I thought that stood out for a Star Wars show. But then again, I mean, I'm sure they're trying to, you know, teeter towards a more grown audience for this show. You see. But I thought that whole scene was good. You know, it established what they're trying to do, but I don't know. The suit up scene for it was nice, though. It was nice seeing him good. Get all the armor on.
I think that gets a lot of a lot of costumers.
You know, my thought was there's definitely no cool way to put on that vest, though. You know?
Nope.
It's like, I think if maybe it would have been angled and, you know, as a quick shot, like Batman suits up, it would have been cooler. But to, you know, to hold your fingers out, put them through the vest sleeves, just doesn't come across as cool as, you know, as it is once it's on. But it was definitely cool seeing him put everything on, you know.
It was a good scene. Yeah. I liked it. I said, validated a lot of the how we put on the suit, all that research we did, right?
All right.
So we get a good tribute here. The exact words fail me right now, because I only watched it once or twice. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I watched it twice. And now these two Gamorrean guards, they basically say they were loyal to Jabba, now they're loyal to, you know, Boba. So this is good. Now he's got some muscle, which is good. You know, if you're gonna be a crime boss, you're gonna basically like a, you know, Star Wars gangster, you need some muscle. You need some.
Yeah, those guys were good. I mean,
that was a good addition.
I thought, upon seeing those two, I was like, I wonder if these are the two that were fighting in the ring at the beginning of last season. I meant just like the actors and like the costume stuff.
I'm yeah,
like,
you know what? That'll just be good.
They probably just reused these two guys.
One's a UFC guy, I know that for sure.
Was it?
The
original costumes for the Gamorrean guards, I mean, they're just awesome. I don't know why they have to be so naked now, you know? in that Disney.
More realistic, I guess. Yeah. I guess now with the world of HD, have you ever watched the original movies on HD? You can see every.
No, I'm not actually.
Yeah, you can. You can watch every bad blemish. So if they tried to recreate those costumes, it would look like it was low budget.
Really? So you're telling me these were better options to go this route?
I'd say so.
Okay.
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Trust me. All right. So yeah, Colin Haynes and Frank Trigg. So, not sure if they were in the other episodes of The Mandalorian, but no, those guys were skinny. These guys were bigger. These are definitely newer guys.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
I thought that was the common size for Gamorrean guards, but
no, all man. Right. All
right.
Nah. They're. You know, they can get Weight Watchers, you know.
That's true. Well, I guess those other two were actual ring fighters, so maybe they had, you know, you got that cardio, that UFC cardio.
Yeah, they got weight classes.
We're getting to the good part now. I know you want to talk about
your name. Okay.
Because in the trailer, there were two, right?
Yeah, but I think one was just more like, yeah, so Jennifer is now... I guess they said he as in the mayor. So this is not the mayor, Garza Whip. And she is basically the club owner, whoever this is, right?
Right. In this slice of paradise.
Slice of paradise, yeah. Now, because she's pretty and because she's, you know, she's from my 80s world, I can't fault her for having the skin tone Twilight get up. But, you know, again, we got to see where it goes. We're one episode in. Is there going to be more Twi'leks? Is she just going to be this club owner? And she's got, obviously, the Twi'leks are also the concubines of the Star Wars world. So they're either slaves, they're trafficking type thing, you know, negative stuff. But you got the waiter and the waitress, the one that were taking the helmets to get them shined up, which is kind of cool service if you think about it. Would you have that in, say, a con? You know, get your helmet shine?
I'd pay for that. I mean,
I'd pay for that too.
I mean, our friend Dom has made adjustments to my helmets during cons before. So, I mean, why not give it clean?
So, we should dress him up as a Twi'lek?
I mean, hey, if he's game.
If he's game.
I mean, that was a little weird seeing the dude Twi'lek. But
I didn't like it either.
I get it.
Yeah,
but I don't. This is one of the scenes that really took me out. As far as all right, first let me preface that by saying I love Tim, right? I love him. I love him as Django. I like him as Boba, but maybe it's because I watched too much wrestling growing up. But every time I see Tim act, I just feel it's the wild Samoan over exaggerated facial. Gestures, you know, it's like he's talking like a senile old grandpa, and Jennifer Beals is just like, okay, good for you, you know, pats him on the arm, like, all right, you can get going now. That's cute, you know, you think you run this place, but get out of here, you know. And I feel like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of characters have a condescending tone to Boba, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that is, I think that's okay, because I think that's what, I think there's a lead into that. I think he's going to leave some blood behind.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's what's going to happen.
So they're going to go with the mistaken my kindness for weakness.
Yeah, angle. That's exactly. Okay. I mean, okay. he did blow some guy up in the middle of the street.
That's true.
You know, when he was getting jumped.
I will say the way Tem plays Boba here is definitely consistent with how Daniel Logan was portrayed as young Boba in the Clone Wars, and that like you can tell he's trying to be bigger than what he is, you know. And it's like the whole world knows how crazy it is, but for some reason, you know, like Boba has a crew in Clone Wars, Boba has Fennec Shand on this show, and he's just telling everybody, you know, how much of a badass he is, or that how he runs things, but yet everybody is just like, you know, taps him in the head, like, okay, you know.
I get it, but there's going to be more, this, you know, that's just a buildup. It's like, haha, just wait.
Right.
I don't carry Werther's originals in these, you know, packs that I've got here.
Right, right.
It's not the grandpa.
Which is crazy, because the way I'm feeling right now is definitely in a capsule for us doing this recording today. You know, for people who binge this show later on, or maybe if we rewatch it in a year or so, we probably won't have these critiques. So, I mean, I am well aware of that.
Right.
You know, we're only breaking down these, what, 30-something minutes this week, because
yeah,
we have a whole week.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's the thing, is that the first impression is always the impression you get. I mean, the first episode is a pilot, and that's what you're supposed to do, is you put a big impression. The first Mandalorian episode, that was a kick-ass impression. You know, when these standalone series comes out, there's these big impressions that you have to make, and we're just evaluating that first impression. The first impression was not terrible. It was not, we wanted a little bit more, but of course that's because we had so little to go off of Fett before. We saw tough, we saw mysterious and ambiguous. So there was no, now we get so much more. We've saw more of Boba Fett in one episode that we have to digest, that we've ever seen in the entire length from Christmas special,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, this is the same guy who last year people were like, he didn't do anything in what, 90 seconds worth of screen time in the movies.
Yeah.
So I mean, I get that, but you know, it's always going to be tough giving your opinion online, because if you say anything is just middle of the road, okay, mid, you know, a lot of people tend to get defensive, but it's definitely not, you know, like it's okay. It's okay to start off, you know, in the middle. And, you know, I always say, I feel like there's nowhere to go but up from here. I don't think it's ever going to be bad, but if this is the low point so we can keep going higher every episode, hey, I'll believe it.
You know my concern, Jay?
What's that?
Let's do math here. So we got a 38-minute episode, technically 38 minutes with credits. So I always look at this at the bottom. And then traditionally, the episodes get shorter and then a longer episode. And this is supposed to be one of the longer episodes. Are we going to get like these 25-minute episodes, four of them, and then another 40-minute episode? And then basically, we're just going to have a long movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. There's so many Marvel shows, but with, you know, Star Wars, all we have are the first two Mandalorian seasons. And that seems to be the recipe that they, you know, film these shows at. So, you know, until I see otherwise, that's what I'm going to base my assumptions on, you know?
So back to the actual scene. So, you know, Boba leaves this cantina, this club where Garza Whip was, and he gets a bunch of tokens in his bucket. So wondering who sets the hit out on Boba, but he gets these assassins. These guys obviously look very new. I didn't like the way they were set up. They didn't look very Star Wars to me. They're humans. I was expecting some other kind of aliens.
Oh, man. I forgot Cole's going to kill me or Josh, but I forgot they're the, man, what kind of ninjas are they? They have something to do with Cobb Vanth. That much I remember. Their name escapes me right now. Let me see if I can remember it, but keep going.
Yeah. So these guys, these assassins, and we could always pick up next episode about this, because we can pull from the last episode, obviously, and find out, because she's obviously during this ambush, Fennec has one of these guys alive. They've pretty much taken care of all of them. And then of course, Boba, you know, from his injuries, probably still recovering from a lot, has to, you know, get dragged back by the Gamorreans to his Bacta chamber. So right. That, and then, you know, she's got this, it cuts away back to him going into his tank and then going off to dream world again. And we get cut back to the desert where he's been captive again after getting beat up by one of the warriors, one of the Sand People warriors. So, and he's getting dragged around by one of the little guys.
Oh, so apparently they're called the Red Key Raiders.
The Red Key Raiders.
Red Key Raiders. And they've got some history with Cobb Vanth. I don't read the books, so, you know, I know I'm going to get killed for this. But we'll see. We'll see. But
yeah, we'll get some on our show.
Are we going to talk about just the logistics of that fight scene? Like, Fennec and Bulba kind of get, you know, beat up by what? Was it four or six?
Six.
Of these foot soldier type dudes? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, he just...
They're right. Supposedly assassins, so they got some kick-ass looking shield things and some electrical prod things. So you'd expect some people to kind of be outmanned. There's something to it.
Right.
Somebody wants Boba dead, and we don't know who. Again, this is back to. Remember, they were saying, I'm not a bounty hunter, you know, from the trailer. Now he's trying to make himself out to be a crime lord.
Right. Well, he wants to be a crime lord without all the crime, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like how Fennec is the bad angel on his shoulder. Like, what are you doing? That's not how it works. Which brings me back again to why I think, you know, Boba is a little senile with the way things work. I mean... This is a guy who's been a bounty hunter his whole life, you know, his dad's Jango Fett. And I don't know. I don't know why he thinks he can just, you know, come in, kill Bib and be like, hey, I run things now, but we're going to be nice. We're going to be a nice Mos Espa going forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's more to come. So I get it.
Then, of course, this could be like the Goodfellas of or the Godfather. Of Star Wars, right? This is like
right.
This is so there could be some you know tones of that type. So some backhanded deals or something, maybe that Twilight Garza, you know, she's part of some sort of syndicate too. So obviously a lot of things to come out. And but yeah, I was a little taken aback by that fight scene too. I thought they would have made them a lot easier to beat up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I did notice the Gamorrean guards came out with them out of a slice of paradise, and then they seem to disappear, but then they come back later. So, you know, I brought that up to a couple people, but you know, some people are giving it the benefit of the doubt. You know, saying maybe there's more to that. I think it's just an oversight on their part, but you know, they did come in and help.
Away.
Yeah, they did come in and help. So I mean, they did carry Boba back to the tank. So I mean, I don't know if that's really anything to, you know, a rabbit hole to go down, but you know, at Fennec, least, like you said,
Fennec did say it was a bad idea to begin with.
Right? You think that's some foreshadowing for something?
Possibly.
Yeah.
They could be working for somebody else.
He's gonna have to call in some of his friends. He needs his crew from Clone Wars.
Yeah. Wait, is there? So I know everybody's still wanting to see if that happens, like some clones show up. I mean, it can happen. I mean, but do they know who Boba? You don't see any clones?
I don't see any clones. Nah, I don't know. I mean, that would be funny if Boba, you know, would run into Captain Rex. But it's like, what? There's no point. I don't think they have much history, you know, like I don't need any interaction between them two. Now, I do want Commander Cody in the Kenobi show, but as far as the Boba show, I mean, I don't need to see any clones. I don't.
How about any of the OG other bounty hunters?
Those guys have to. I mean, I feel like they were, well, most of them were in Clone Wars, and it's just like, you know, the guys in charge of making this show, I think it's just the temptation is there to use, you know, to put your hand in the cookie jar. I think as fans, me personally, I think we do need Bosk in the show. Like, that was his right-hand man in Clone Wars. So it'd be nice to see, you know, what happened. I mean, they were together on, what is it? The Executor? Was that Vader's Star Destroyer? In
Something
ESP?
Like that. Yep.
Yeah, Executor.
The Executor.
Yeah, and then you know, there's picture of Bosk in Jabba's palace in the sail barge. So I mean, you know, they were always intertwined, and yeah, I need to see Bosk.
I need to see some throwbacks to OT as well, the original trilogy.
Yeah, it was nice seeing the original suit when he came out the Sarlacc, but I definitely wouldn't mind seeing him do something in it too in a flashback.
I like seeing his boots.
Do you know something I don't?
Nah, I don't know shit.
Good. Well, those boots look like mine, so
yeah.
I have to say I like them too.
Yeah.
But so,
yeah. But you know, that's gonna be nice to come out and see who, you know, what you know, usually we know the studios that do this and how they got their stuff too. So, you know, we like our costuming, so we'll find out later who put some stuff together after the fact. We gotta wait till the end of the I think we got to wait till the end of the series before they say, oh yeah, we worked on that and we follow them on IG or whatever. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be announcements, you know, but where were we?
We backtracked to the fight, but basically after he gets in his back to chamber, whatever, he starts dreaming again about another being flashback. Out in the desert. Yeah.
Right.
With the sand people.
That's right. So this is where the little one frees him and the Rodian.
Yep.
And I guess they're headed now. They come across that couple from the teaser, right? That were getting robbed, or do you think that was somebody else?
I don't know what that was.
They want to rob them twice, right?
There's something there that we have to remember, because there was some gang stuff happening. There was some, right. They basically put up some graffiti, or they tagged the house. So yeah, obviously drags them off to see what the heck was going on. And these gangs on some swoop bikes, right. Couldn't tell the species of alien, but they were definitely alien.
Right. Now, is that logo familiar? I mean, I see that logo. I think, like I said, as a wrestling fan, I see that logo. I think Jeff Jarrett, but I doubt that.
I don't.
Yeah, that's greatness right there. But man, I don't really have the time to watch all these other theory videos. So I'm sure it's probably referenced, you know, what they could be or what that logo is. But hey, I don't know it, so I'm sorry I can't talk about it. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a different couple that get raided next week, right? Or in the future, according to the trailer, because that wasn't them.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. I kind of throw the trailer out because the trailers are meant to deceive
right.
MCU. Yes. I mean, come on, man.
But anyway, yeah, they're going to the desert, and yeah, that's where they run into that little scenario, right? And then what? They just find a pit or an area and just start digging? Like, what was that about?
I guess the kid knew where to find those little water pods, whatever they are.
Right. So in the vast dune sea, you know, that you spoke about earlier with, you know, everything, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
barren.
But yeah, exactly. It's barren.
He knew where to put it. He's a dude. Yeah, so
it's like, start digging for some coconuts.
So you heard the song by Hank Williams Jr.
Okay.
Hank Williams. So you've heard of the great Hank Williams Jr.
Of course.
So like a country boy can't survive. Well, these are the country boys, right? So the country boy's got to know to survive. So obviously he's got, you know, he's got his dog that, you know, follows him around, whatever that little dragon looking thing is.
Right.
He's got somebody that he's captive, kind of deliverance style.
this is where we need Dom, because he would definitely know.
Right. He'd know everything.
Damn
right?
Dog.
He knew everything.
Mate. He would know the species mate. Of mate.
Right. So he knows where to find these things, and he gets the guys to dig it up. So obviously he's the desert kid that knows how to survive. So, and obviously we know this, you know, after the fact, this is juxtaposition for the, you know, the coming of age for a Tusken Raider, because obviously they celebrate after what happens next. So they're here digging. So the Rodian is actually doing better than Boba, finding these little pods. Boba finds a pod and starts drinking, and the kid tries to hit him. And then he takes the pod away from him and starts giving it to the dog. So it was kind of a diss. It was like, it's kind of like, come on, Boba. This is a kid. Yeah. Did you get away from the kid?
Yeah, that was a little, you know, why is he letting this, you know, happen?
Why is he letting this happen? I figured he gets away.
No. But see, at least this moment in the timeline, he's still just fresh out the Sarlacc. So I get, you know, he's still weak here. So I can get where, you know, oh, first of all, while we're talking about Boba and mate, can we just say, I hope we never see Tem ever run around again? I didn't see that in the earlier, but he definitely looked all of
the boots, bro.
59.
It's the boots. You can't run with those.
Nah.
We know that. Nah, we can't run with the boots. And he's like conscious about the spikes.
That's true.
My wife commented that too. It's like, oh my gosh, he's running kind of goofy.
Yeah, that does. It would get caught in the sand and kind of drag. All right. You just saved it. But I hope we don't have to see him run again.
I hope not either.
Tem run again. But yeah. So anyway, I mean, hey, at least we know why there's a Rodian with him.
Yep.
You know, I guess he was just there because they needed that scene. I mean, he gets pounded into the sand.
Yeah, whatever this Goro looking thing. Yeah, no, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect this thing to look like it was. I was expecting something of crate dragon or, I don't know, some other kind of thing. But this Goro-looking lizard monster with
People did say it looked like the sea creature or the Kraken in the original Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, that okay. Yeah, I would say that.
I was going to put that in my no context spoiler, but I was like, no, he's too big. I don't think people would get it. Plus, you know what my Instagram says about my.
I know.
They wouldn't get it. Yeah. They wouldn't get it. So I had to put something. Yeah, a Kraken from what's that? Damn. You're gonna have to edit this out. But which was the Clash of the Titans with Liam Neeson?
It's called Clash of the Titans.
It was Clash. Titans. But the Kraken was like something totally.
It looked like a Kraken, larger, right? Like a different. Yeah. It looked like a big squid or something.
Yeah.
So we got this Kraken looking thing looking here. And it's I call it Goro. And so let's call him Goro. It's easy. Everybody knows who Goro is.
Yeah. I mean, so, there's so many YouTube channels and other podcasts that use actual names. Let's just make up our own names. Let's just call him what the average Joe.
What regular ham and egger.
We're for the average Joes, man. We're not here for the people that need total insight. We're not that.
The elitists.
I don't have time to read the Star Wars encyclopedia.
Right. So he gets him. He obviously they get to a fight. They try to, and obviously the kid tries to do it. The Rodian gets his pretty much just impaled by the guy's hand.
That was pretty brutal. I like that. He went in the sand. You know, so I was like, that was a nice special effect. And I mean, hey, snitches get stitches, right?
Right. Yeah, that was going to get his.
He had it coming.
Yeah. So, Bob's your uncle. You got Boba, you know, besting this beast. And he obviously saves the kid, right? So
I will say kudos to that kid for stabbing Goro in the foot, though.
Yeah.
He got him good. Yeah. So, I mean, these Tuskens they work are built together. Different. Yeah, definitely no Kitster.
Right? In the desert, especially. Maybe the Dune Sea guys are a little better than the guys that hang out around Mos Espa or Mos Eisley.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Those are the city folk. They can't survive.
Not out there. Not out there. Well, we can't even say in them streets.
Right?
In them deserts. In them dunes. Them Dune people are definitely built different, so he ends up saving him. Now, remember the rumor that he would be riding a Rancor? You think maybe this is what the leakers saw and maybe thought that, or you think we're still getting that?
So, right, obviously there's some respect. You can see the kid running up with the head of this Goro looking thing. Obviously, I'm sure the kid's saying, "I got it, I slayed it," and then of course the chief comes up to Boba. And gives him the water, saying, "I know that wasn't him. I know that was you that did that."
Dude, I was like, please don't fist bump. I feel like that's where it was headed. I was like, please don't give this guy a fist bump.
I think was good. That was a good. I wish, and like I said, for my taste, I wish they would have just gone through the whole dream sequence thing, ended it there, and gone to him just falling asleep in the back to tank, leaving it to whatever else might have happened. But, you know, maybe that's the thing. They cut in the next to him going into the back tank, kind of like a 5-second cut from the first episode.
You know, going I like
into
that.
What happens next, right?
I like that. You know, if the episode would have ended with Fennec saying, "Boss, wake up," and then it's his eyes opening, that would have been a good cliffhanger ending. That would have been good enough for
better.
Me. That would have been good enough for me. Instead, it ends with him, you know, drinking from a small coconut, and it just ends. And you're like, is there a bonus credit? You know, is there a post credit scene here?
No, nope, they don't do that. Really they don't do that in Star Wars.
I mean, hey, didn't the Mando always lead up into something at least? Like you knew where you were, like you knew you were in for another adventure next week, but it never just ended like him drinking water, right?
Yeah, kind of not like, you know, Justice League. It's like tune in next week, right? You know, kind of like that, but
right,
nothing like that. But yeah, there was some lead into what was happening next with the Mando.
So you think we'll get more flashbacks next week? From the Tuskens,
we have.
Oh yeah, that's right. He has to get the gaffy stick from that lady, right? I feel like that was definite foreshadowing with that weapon.
So there's more flashbacks, and now there has to be more flashbacks, obviously, for you know to lead up to getting his armor. I just don't know where this story's gonna go. I'm gonna end it. Well, I'm not going to end it here, but at my final end here, where are they going with it? I think everybody's asking the same thing. Where is this going? We knew at the end of the first episode, we kind of knew, and the writing did it right, what the Mando's mission was when he killed IG-11, you know, for Grogu, for the, you know, the child. Was basically he was going to protect the child. Something was going to happen where he was not going to turn in the child. We basically knew right from that last scene of that first episode how the rest of the series was going to go as far as what the end was. Is it's now we need to know how he does it.
Right. I'll even take that one step. I'll take that one step further. In the first episode for season two, we ended with this guy. You know?
True. Yeah,
he didn't got his armor. We thought, wow, okay, he's all right. We're in for it this season. And then, hey, we get you know the last shot of Boba turning around.
Right.
And you're like, holy shit, the season's gonna be, you know.
So and, what is this? What exactly? There was nothing that gave us this. Now the name of the show is called Book of Boba. It's not called Boba Fett like the Mandalorian. It wasn't the Book of the Mandalorian. So think about it. I think they call it the Book of Boba Fett, as in there's a beginning and an end. There's like a, it's cover bound.
Right.
So I'm hoping that means that, yes, this is it. This is how we leave Boba Fett. He's not going to be this ongoing thing. Maybe they do something a la, you know, Tony Soprano, where there's kind of like who gets Boba at the end, and I would love that. Right. Kind of give it an like a ambiguous end, kind of like a one that leaves you hanging, because nobody hated it. In fact, nobody hated the way the Sopranos ended with like that, because everyone's like, oh, how did that go?
Right. You know?
I'd like it to stay, you know, end mysteriously and then end, or him die mysteriously. But if he's going to be in the third Mando, and I'm like, oh god, this is going to go on again.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, I'm indifferent. I mean, but assuming, you know, the rumors are true that he'll be in season three. I know he probably won't meet his end, but you know, it'd be nice if there were some stakes. You know, this season stakes sound good right now, but as far as on the show, You know, as far as on the show, like, what are the stakes? You know, like, is it Fennec? Are we going to care about her, you know, this season? Or, you know, is there, is,
yeah, Boba,
is there
doesn't,
somebody else?
Boba's not going to be smooching with no Fennec.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely. No,
that doesn't happen.
That's definitely a mutual arrangement.
And not with no Twi'lek either. I don't think.
See,
as
so,
much as I like Twi'leks, I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh man, maybe, I don't know. So do you think that Chin-Up Buttercup from the special edition was a one-off, or is he a ladies' man deep down inside?
Because
that's random now, right? Now that we look back at that scene, that is a pretty random Boba Fett scene.
I think there's going to be you can't do love in a Boba thing.
No.
Here can't, no, do that. You left that for the Mando.
No. I mean that can stay and die with the EU, you know, his old,
yeah,
wife and daughter, all that stuff. You know, there's a lot of things I'm grateful for that the EU is legends, so
yep.
You know, I don't totally hate what they did with it, but yeah, definitely he's a one man show. I don't need,
yeah,
love, you know.
Well, we are now, we're not slaves to it. I think we could take it or leave it, but we support it. And I think what we do is we're just thankful too that there's something new to digest. There's something new to watch. And right. Regardless, I'm gonna enjoy it. I think I didn't not enjoy the episode. I think being right. A Boba Fett fan, you got an expectation that's so dang high.
Right.
You know?
And I came in with some reasonable expectations. You know, I definitely thought the Sarlacc escape would be, you know, not full robot chicken, you know, blasting off rockets, all the weapons getting fired, him killing the Sarlacc. But, you know, I definitely thought it was more than, oh, I just woke up and I'm just going to punch my way out, you know?
Well, I mean, he wasn't going to sit there and think about it. Right. He was pretty much, he knew that survival was what he was made for. So that's why he had a suit. I would have liked him to make something else other than a stormtrooper. How the hell did a stormtrooper get out there? You know, it's still,
yeah,
pretty good condition.
That's definitely another question. Yeah.
Yeah. So he grabs a stormtrooper, but I kind of like that. I kind of like that idea. Is like, oh, the stormtrooper's got some sort of oxygen mask in there, and he
right.
rips it out.
Well, that, I mean, if that's the only reason they put the stormtrooper in there, so he can do the, you know, like the scuba, dramatic scuba, rescue scene where, you know, it's like, oh, I'm out of air. Let me just grab this person's tank and, you know, take a deep breath real quick. You know, I get it. I don't.
It makes sense. I mean, they had to figure it out somehow.
Right.
So I'm just trying to think, when was a stormtrooper out there? Or maybe there was a stormtrooper out there patrolling and he accidentally fell into the.
Yeah, I mean, that can be easily explained. That can easily be explained. So I'm not putting too much, you know, hate into the idea of it being random, you know, even though we don't know how. It's something somebody can just make up a story for, and I'll buy it. You know, I'm not too critical on that, but
you'd buy that for a dollar.
I buy it for a quarter. But yeah, I mean, hey, I also didn't hate the episode. You know, I really just thought it was as mid as you can get. So yeah, I didn't hate the episode. I liked it. If I had to pick or choose whether I liked it or hated it, I liked it. You know, I'd give it, you know, a middle of the road score. And I know we have 5 more episodes, so that's about 4 hours and some change of story to go. So I mean, I'm sure it'll pick up next week, you know.
Yeah,
we'll get where this season is going, and you know, everybody's gonna be excited after next week. I'm definite of it.
It's our first episode back, and this is our first episode into Boba. We've given it more time than I think we even needed to give it. I think we just gave it its respect of time. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about, considering we have an extra episode to talk about next week. So that's what people have to tune in for. Get our take.
Yeah. So yeah, we're back. You know, give us some time to get the ball rolling again. I haven't done this in a while. I think I only did like, what, 2 episodes last year, maybe 3.
Yeah, you were in the middle of the
move.
Moving. You were in the move.
I was in a move that started around that time, and it only ended. Actually, it hasn't even ended yet. I'm still only in one floor of the house as the rest are getting renovated. But, you know, we'll definitely switch to a video format.
You'll
soon.
See
you
the
know,
evolution of the vodcast.
Yeah, we'll keep the vodcast podcast going. But, you know, I want to see you. I want to see you guys. We'll get more people in here. You know, we'll make it a party. We'll keep going.
Get some cameras. Hey,
definitely.
More drinks.
So we appreciate
appropriate
you
shirts.
Know, you know, we need the merch. Space the balls, merch. T-shirts, space balls, coloring book. So, yeah, we appreciate you. Hopefully you tune in next week. And, yeah, we'll see you around.
Good night, everybody.